When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From our virtual studios in the Netherlands.
And more importantly, Camarillo, California.
It's time once again for your favorite show and my favorite show. Yes, it is The Marketing Geeks, ladies and gentlemen.
If it's not your favorite show, by the end of this episode, it will be because we are going to deliver the goods. Get excited.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to talk about predictions for 2018, 2019. It's 2019 already.
2019, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to give you all the skinny. Should you invest in Bitcoin? Should you go see the new Star Wars movie? Should you use Facebook marketing, Google AdWords? Or should you just shout from the rooftops, hey, everybody, I just want to listen to Marketing Geeks. That's what I would recommend.
I kind of like your idea of 2018 predictions. I think Bitcoin's going to go down. That's what I'm thinking.
No. It's going to go to 100,000. And now, everybody, once again, here we are. It is time for the absolute best show that you're listening to right now. It's the Marketing Geeks. Hello, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're here. We're back.
Yes.
It's awesome. So, yes, we're going to go over predictions for 2019. We're going to talk about marketing trends, what you should expect as a marketer if you are a digital agency, if you are a freelancer, or if you're just a business owner who does your own marketing. We are going to go over all the things that you need to know to be successful for the coming year. What do you think, my friend? What's your big prediction right off the top?
My big prediction for 2019, man, you're putting me on the spot. What's the big one? The big one is that I think that Avengers Endgame is going to be the number one grossing movie in the box office. There you go. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going crazy here. I mean, this is like way out there, but that's what I'm going with.
Wow. That is a big one. This is a big one. I don't know if I could top that personally. So I think that for 2019, well, we will hear all of our predictions. So coming up, how are you, buddy? You know, first of all, we want to give a shout out to all of our 7 listeners. In fact, there's one listener who we definitely want to give a shout out. Who is that?
So our newest subscriber, Keith Hearn. Thank you. Thank you for subscribing. However, when you subscribed through the hosting platform the way that you did, it did not give us your email address. So if you're listening, Keith, please either message myself or Andros on LinkedIn or Facebook or shoot us an email at realmarketinggeeks@gmail.com and we will deliver you the recordings of the webinars. So we want to make sure to give you that. We are giving you the shout out though, Keith, because you're awesome.
And that said, we also want to remind everybody that we are doing another free webinar. It's coming up. What's the date on that?
It's a good question. It's a great, great question.
Almost as good as predictions for 2019, right?
Yes. It looks like Thursday, December 20th, we are doing that webinar at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So go to the show notes, get the registration link, get registered. We're going to be covering the secrets of Google AdWords and YouTube ads, and you're going to love it. So grab that out of the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, and if you are listening deep into 2019, into the future, and you missed the webinar altogether, you can see a replay of it with a small donation of $5 or more.
$4.99.
Yeah, what a deal.
Yeah, $4.99, $5, whatever. You can round it up, yeah.
What a deal. And very shortly, we're going to start doing our group calls for people who are $20 subscribers and above, where you can get access to us and ask us anything you want, including what color our socks are, you know, what we like to eat. You know, if that's Justin's real hair, you can ask all of it.
Yes. And we'll give you the real lowdown, the real answers. Don't worry.
That's
and
right.
Then I do want to give a shout out to our current other subscribers that are re-upping this month. We have Jessica Nguyen is still with us here. We got Roger Morris.
Yay.
And then of course, a former guest of the show, actually, Iris Garretts is currently donating to the show as well. So
thanks everybody.
Yeah.
That means that we've got 40% of our 7 listeners are actually
a lot of you are already donating money. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So it's more than 50% of our listeners are giving us donating money to the show to support us so that we can keep this thing alive.
Yeah, so grateful. And 2019 is actually going to be a good year for the show because we're going to be creating an enhanced experience. And stay tuned because we will tell you all about what the future of the show holds because big things are afoot. So
yes.
Without further ado, let's get in to some marketing news. I love it. So here we are talking about some interesting marketing news. We read the news so you don't have to. Google has just introduced a WordPress plugin with integrated analytics, Search Console, and more. This is pretty cool. Basically, it's a plugin directly for WordPress. Now, of course, WordPress has just come out with a new version of WordPress. It's 5.0. Gutenberg has a web builder, makes it very easy to build a website if you've never done it before. And now there's a plugin from Google that allows you to connect Google Analytics directly to it. So you can see your Google Analytics from the back end of the website without having to go to Google Analytics itself. That's kind of neat.
That's very nice. And if you've ever used Google Analytics, you know that it's quite cumbersome. It's quite, you have to know what you're doing to use it. So hopefully this simplifies it a little bit for other people too. But at the very least, it'll simplify that you could just track one website through one plugin. I like that.
Yeah. And the beta version is active right now. It's, if you just look up Google Sitekit for WordPress, you should be able to find it and get the beta version of the plugin. But the full version will be released later this year. So that's pretty cool. And in other Google news, some Google products are getting sunsetted, shutting down completely. One of them is, did you ever use Google Allo?
I've heard of it. That's as far as I got with it. I think I even downloaded the app once, but I never used it. I don't think I ever opened the app, but I downloaded it.
Well, Google Allo it hasn't been around very long. It was a short-lived product. It was a chat bot virtual assistant for your phone and designed to basically be a sort of AI virtual assistant. And so that it was a cross between like a chat app and an AI app, but nobody really used it. So Google Allo is disappearing, and so is Google Hangouts. That is also disappearing. And then the Google Plus, which was, of course, the Google's entry into social media.
It was their answer for Facebook.
Right, which wasn't a good answer at all, because there was a huge hack that found they had been it had been exploited for years, and I don't think they can fix it, so they're shutting the entire platform down. So you know, let's let us say good night and good luck to these Google products and entry into a new world of other Google products.
So, Godspeed.
There you go. Godspeed, y'all. What do you got for us, man?
Instagram is launching a walkie-talkie voice messaging feature, which is basically what exists on Facebook Messenger for quite a while now. And essentially all this is that you can leave a voice message and send it via direct messenger in Instagram. So it's I guess it's kind of a cool feature. It makes it a little bit more personalized, or depending on who you are, some people find it probably more personalized. Some people probably find it annoying when they get, especially if it's somebody you don't know that's leaving you a voice message, which I do sometimes get in Facebook. But they're kind of interesting, and sometimes I respond to them, sometimes I don't. It depends what kind of mood I'm in that day. So there you go.
So it sounds like they're kind of integrating some of the WhatsApp functionality directly into Instagram, because you can do
exactly
that.
No, that's what this whole article is saying, that this technology has existed for 5 years in Messenger and WhatsApp, but it's now being ported over to Instagram, basically. So.
Great. For those of you too lazy to type an emoji, you can now just say, I'm sad. I'm sad. I'm happy. So there you go.
They've added so many new emojis. That's so great now. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I can express so many new emotions that I never even knew existed.
But you know what you can express? Marketing geek. They need a marketing geek emoji.
Oh, they will. They will make it, because this show just continues to explode. It's going to be exponential growth next year, so it's not going to take long. I'll tell you that.
That's right. That's right. This is kind of interesting. There is a new feature in Alexa, which will allow you to read your email. So this is kind of an interesting thought, because if you do any kind of email marketing, we covered email marketing last week. Very thorough conversation with our guest, Justin Womack, who is a email marketing king.
Yeah, he was really good, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. Great. We should bring him back at some point. We found out that Alexa is going to allow you to read your emails, which says two things. Number one, Alexa is going to be reading your emails. So, of course, they're going to be taking that data and selling you crap with it. But the other thing is that if you're doing email marketing and you use, let's say, a lot of photos, or you use the wrong kind of headlines, Alexa will skip your emails. So if you haven't listened to our last show that talked about email marketing, definitely do that, because some of the tips and tricks that we talked about in there will apply to this new sort of thing. So if you are an email marketer, this is definitely something that you want to pay attention to, because people are going to have their emails read to them through digital assistants from here on.
It's very interesting. But, you know, like you said, though, I mean, Amazon, it's not enough that they're listening to our verbal conversations. They also want to read our emails, because sometimes we're reading in our own heads, you know, internal monologues, and they can't hear those yet. So they just want us to give them access to the emails so they can read those, too.
Right, of course. So, anything else that you got for us?
That's it for geek news.
All right. So, on to the meat of our show. So, we want to go over some of our predictions for 2019. I always like to do a little you know, just my own predictions. I predicted last year that Bitcoin was going to dip and then continue to rise. I was completely wrong about that. I know. I predicted that by this time, some people in the current administration would be arrested, and I was correct on half of those people. Some of those people have not been arrested yet, but I think they're going to be arrested next year because of you know, the deep state and all that. You know, I didn't get any guacamole on my chips. It must be the deep state. And but we want to go over some of our big predictions for this year. And boy, we have a lot of them. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay. So, first of all, you know, there's definitely some trends that Justin and I have been noticing, and there's been some revelations within the marketing community, specifically as the agency model itself starts to crumble in way for. You know, we've got the gig economy, we've got more freelancers, we got virtual agencies. In fact, I guess you could say that I run a virtual agency. Justin, you're part of a virtual network as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I run a virtual business basically, and you could call it an agency, except I don't have too many employees. So,
yeah.
But yes, virtual agency.
Yeah. And so, and this is kind of interesting because, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon, happening where the economy is shrinking. And part of the reason that it's shrinking is because, people are now the nature of work is changing. Automation is displacing people. There are more and more people who are doing the gig economy, which means that they can't afford health insurance, which means that they can't afford to buy consumer goods as much. This is part of the reason that the stock market is shrinking. I don't see that as something that's going to change. But one thing that's not going to change is the need to do advertising. So the nature of advertising is going to be the same. And a lot of times when companies scale back on their entire like workforce or on certain, you know, hiring people or upgrades, then they actually have a little bit more money for advertising. So some of the companies that you may be working for will still need advertisers and marketers. So everybody who's listening to the show is in good shape there if you're a freelancer.
Yeah. Let me add a few things because before, because I want to comment on a few things you said earlier and then we can get back into advertising. But the gig economy is interesting because it's not just people that are working for the gig economy. It's companies that are replacing, you know, traditional W-2 based jobs with hiring 1099 contractors for much cheaper to do, you know, those kind of jobs. So it's companies are saving money by using the gig economy by not having to pay benefits to those kind of employees too, right?
So that's right.
I think that's going to continue.
Especially,
yeah.
Yeah. And especially if you like, you know, you hire, you know, like myself or Justin, a lot of times, you know, we will take on a job and we'll hire specialists for certain things that we may not be able to do. So if you're competent in that level, then part of the angle that you can use in your closing for these types of jobs, when you're negotiating with a company or you know, someone who a business that wants to hire you, you can tell them like, hey, you know, for the price of me or for even half the price of a normal employee, you get myself and a whole team. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's a value add for them because they don't have to hire a whole marketing team and a video person and, you know, the Google AdWords person. They can hire like one virtual agency for probably about half the cost of a normal employee and not have to pay those types of benefits. So this type of disruption is going to be more of a thing as we move into 2019 and beyond.
So, you know, what's interesting, though, is like, because you know that I'm on Fiverr as a Fiverr pro. So I work in this gig economy as a supplementary source of income. Now, what's interesting though is that I got an email this year where they're actually offering health insurance to Fiverr freelancers. I don't know what the qualifications were. I'm sure I would qualify. However, my wife works for city government, so I don't need those benefits. But it's just kind of interesting that Fiverr actually reached out and is offering some kind of a health program. So I didn't get all the details. I just know that they're doing that. Which is a change.
Yeah, that isn't a change, you know. And it's I have a friend of mine that works for a glass manufacturing plant, and I was told that people are not buying as much glass anymore. They provide glass for restaurants and for IKEA and these types of things. But because people aren't going out as much, and we see this in the retail apocalypse, more people are staying home, so they're not going out to eat, which means that there's not as much glass being built or purchased, and people are sharing, doing more of sharing resources rather than buying their own resources. So there is definitely a contraction of the economy. So how that affects your marketing is going to be very important, because if people are being a bit more discerning about how they're spending their money, then you have to be smart about how you're doing your marketing too. So one of the things that I predict is that the way that you do avatar-based marketing, or you look for certain segment-based marketing, the way that you do that has got to change also, because people's buying habits are starting to shift radically as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think avatar-based advertising, personally, I think it's still going to work, but it's getting to the point where you have to like niche. You basically need to segment. If you have a list or if you have a avatar population, you need to segment that even further down, because people are so into personalization and they're wising up to automation. So I mean, it's becoming trickier to get people's attention, and you really need to hit them on a personal level to get their attention. Because if you're using any kind of generic language, I think that's not really going to work. And going back to this advertising thing, Andres, that we're talking about how advertising is changing too. I believe, as far as platforms go, I think that right now, I mean, I would say that Facebook and Facebook is probably number one in advertising. I know it is. Google number two. Instagram is a subsection of Facebook, but I would say that's probably like the number three platform, then maybe YouTube, and then Amazon or something.
Amazon.
So this year, though, 2019, I predict Amazon is going to have a tremendous rise in advertising money invested. And I believe Facebook's going to see a decline, because partially because of the controversies, but more so because the prices on Facebook continue to rise, and it's a supply and demand issue. And I think Facebook, more and more people are learning how to use the platform and they're investing there, but nobody's going to know how to use Amazon advertising. Not the general population anyway. And then I think that there's going to be money shifting to YouTube too, which we're going to be doing a webinar on shortly. But a lot of people don't know how to use YouTube advertising. And when people don't know how to use it in mass quantities, the prices are lower. But eventually it'll shift again. And so you have to kind of stay ahead of these trends. And I think Amazon and YouTube are the Amazon, YouTube, and a little bit of Instagram are the places to advertise in 2019. Those are my opinions.
Yeah, for sure. And then the question is, what kind of advertising? So another prediction is that it's really going to start to come down to quality content. So rather than just creating stuff that shouts at you that this is an advertisement for a product, you need to make content that seems to fit seamlessly into someone's stream. So the content that you create, that you use for marketing, has to be something that is engaging, something that people want to talk about and share. Because one of the things that I'm noticing more and more, and it's trickier to do, is that if you do a sales-oriented pitch, people will just turn off. They're not into it anymore. Yeah. There's a huge desire for authenticity, realism, People want something that means something. And so if you're not creating quality content, then your message will not be heard. So what kind of quality content does that mean? Like when I say quality content, what does that mean to you?
Let me say a few things here. So, cause I pulled up a Forbes article kind of before we started recording here. And the article talked about how people are putting more and more trust into different sources than before. So the top four sources that people seek right now are people they know. They're seeking branded sites, editorial sites, or review sites. And those are the sources that they trust the most, more so than advertisements. So I think what's part of this, what's happened is that people have been duped by either ads that overpromised and underdelivered, or just they feel like they're just being inundated with so many ads on social media and these other platforms now that they're not as effective as they once were because they're oversaturated. A couple other points from this though are that at the end of this year, 2018. It's anticipated that 30% of internet users will be using ad blockers. So the more and more internet users are blocking the ability to advertise to them anyway. So that's going to be a challenge. I mean, there's still 70% of the open market there, but and advertisers will continue to beat ad blockers too. And then we'll find new ways to make them work. But it's always a challenge. It's something to be aware of. And like you said, Andres, though, I think we are moving into a more of a content marketing world where if you are not in it to provide value up front, and it has to be real value too, not just like here's a checklist of five things where it's like five things that I could Google and find super easily and I'm just giving this to you. It has to be something that's actually value to the end user, actually valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're moving more and more into that.
So that's a good point. Yeah, as far as quality, and here's a perfect example. Like I have a client right now, they do fleet tracking for cars. So you have a bunch of autos that you want to track to make sure the drivers aren't, going to Disneyland or whatever, that they're actually going on their appointed rounds. So it's kind of Big Brother software. But all of they had a few videos, but all of their content was really sales oriented, like the feature benefits sort of way of doing advertising, and very sales oriented. And so when I was hired, they were having some trouble like being seen in the marketplace. So what I did was I started creating some content around starting off with just like a video that's more informational about why you need this particular product. So I start off with a bunch of data. Like, did you know that 80% of employees spend 3 hours a day or more not working, right? So you set up a bunch of information and statistics on the front end, give them some information that they need to know how to solve this problem. And at the very end, you go, oh, P.S., if you want a good way to solve this problem, here's the product that might help you. So it's not, instead of doing this hard sell, you make it more like an infographic, like a visual infographic than an actual sales thing. And that's, so as far as quality content, you have to give something of value to people. And this is becoming more and more of a thing. I was working for a beauty brand and they insisted on having all of their advertisements be just pictures of the product and in a studio. And they were surprised that nobody was clicking through their ads because nobody wants to be advertised to anymore. So when you create content, make sure it's quality content, make sure it's something of value, and make sure that it's something that looks like it could have been shared by somebody else.
So we see this trend of content marketing coming. The trend of influencer marketing is still as relevant as ever going into 2019.
Oh, that's huge.
So I think that's going to continue.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, other things that are coming though are like content marketing is not just written. Content marketing is also people that do YouTube channels or people that run things like podcasts. So, podcast marketing is a growing sector, and I believe that it's going to continue to grow, especially in the advertising space. And again, the reason is because it gets a strong amount of reach. Listeners tend to stay on podcasts longer than videos, and the audiences tend to be more engaged, and they're getting, I mean, if you're listening to a podcast, I hope it's giving you value, because that's the point. You should be getting a fair amount of value from a podcast. So there's opportunities to advertise on podcasts as well, and operators are standing by.
But not only that. I mean, you bring up a good point with podcasts. And so again, this goes into quality content. In fact, just 2 days ago, I did a small consulting meeting with a production company, a film production company here in the Netherlands, and they were trying to figure out how to get people to become more aware of their films. They have a slate of about 20 movies a year. So one of the things I recommended to them is like, hey, why don't you do a podcast where you basically interview different people who are involved in the production of the films. So you get film buffs to listen to your podcast, but you also build up a certain amount of buzz as well. And so one of the things that I've been starting to recommend to almost every company I'm doing consulting work for is run a podcast about your business, because I guarantee you there's other people within that business who will be interested in what you have to say around that. So yeah, doing a podcast around your business is definitely something that it's cheap, it's easy. In fact, we're going to, in 2019, I have a prediction that we're going to do a webinar on podcasting.
I hope so. We've been talking about it for quite some time.
I know. Well, you know what it is? We're waiting until we have seven actual, all of seven listeners are actually giving us a small donation.
Until they're here every time. Yeah, yeah. Once we have seven donors, right, then we're really in the big leagues. So that's what we need. Now, sorry, that's really funny. You know, but also, also what's funny is, not funny, is that the referral relationships are also a big source of income. And I think that's going to continue to expand. And that's why, if you've listened to the show before, I've promoted referral marketing products. And, you know, so if you're looking to advertise, you know, I would say that it's kind of important to shift some of your advertising budget away from pure cold market advertising and start putting some of it back into your current clients. Because if you actually put some money into your current clients, a lot of them will do more business with you. So you're either going to sell more to them or they're going to refer you new clients. And opportunities will open up. So I see a lot of value in putting out some additional resources into your existing clients and taking good care of them, because that's what it's doing the things that other companies are unwilling to do, right? So when you're doing
That's a good point. In fact, if you want to know more about that, we did a episode on reciprocity, on reciprocal marketing. So that would be a good callback to listen to if you want to know more about that.
Correct.
So yeah, but definitely like being more customer service oriented, taking care of the customer journey and the customer experience. That's something that you definitely have to be more cognizant of moving forward. One of the other interesting things that is a kind of a small tweak in just the way that we receive media is the age of vertical videos. Now, a long time ago, which was like last year, I would always tell people, if you're going to film something, never ever hold the film, the camera vertically. Always hold it horizontally. So it gives you that nice aspect ratio that we're used to in the movies, that kind of postcard shape. But nowadays, people have been getting more and more used to watching videos shot on their cell phone just vertically, especially with Instagram stories and you know, different different platforms like that, where we're becoming accustomed to just seeing a vertical video. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter if you shoot a video vertically. In fact, if you're going to shoot a video that's going to be on Instagram, well, then vertical might be the way to go, because it actually, most people are watching video that way. So this is kind of an interesting shift in perspective, because if you do hold the phone horizontally, then the video will be smaller on the phone itself when people are watching it. Most people will not tilt their phone sideways. Whoa. So
we're moving into, as time goes on, mobile will be absolutely dominating the way that we consume media, right? So,
well, this is now.
It is already now. But so, it's going to continue to expand even more and more and more. And so people are watching videos on their cell phones. So the cell phone is designed for vertical videos. I mean, really. So it makes sense to me. So
right. Yeah. So in the old days when it used to be like frame the video in a way that, the rule of thirds where you have like your subject on one third of the screen, either on the left half or the right half. Now you've got to frame your videos so it is more vertical oriented. So, as a filmmaker and a lover of film, it makes me cringe to think about this, but, you have to think about all of your marketing now as mobile first, especially in 2019, mobile. In fact, now that Google has changed their algorithm, so if your website is not mobile optimized, they're going to dock you. They're going to actually de-rank your site, even if it has good ranking. So you'll have to make sure that your site is mobile optimized. It is what Google calls AMP ready. They have their own little system for making sure that it's mobile in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. So think about just like your own mobile experience when you're sitting on the toilet, like reading the news and, going through Facebook. What are the things that you stop on? What are the things that you read? You need to make sure that all the content that you're creating and all the marketing you're doing fits around a mobile phone.
Now, I watched an interesting video about advertising yesterday that was about it was basically about how to get attention in advertising. And, one of the things they were discussing was that if you're on Facebook, a lot of people are just scrolling through their feeds like pretty fast and moving really, really quick. So the idea was that the visual imagery of your ad is actually more important than ever in terms of getting somebody's attention. So I'm kind of backtracking here. I'm going back into advertising, but if you're not adding like, filters or doing something that kind of shocks the system. So you should be adding contrast to the photos or going into like black and white or doing something that shocks the system that actually disrupts the pattern of just scrolling through your phone constantly. If you're not doing that, you're missing an opportunity to actually get attention on mobile. So that's something I thought right. I wanted to discuss too, is that the images that you're using in your ads are becoming more and more and more and more important. Even if it's video, the thumbnail, because even if it's on Facebook, it's initially going to go to that thumbnail and then it'll open up the video. But you need to get attention before people, attention's the name of the game. So you got to get someone's attention first, then you got to deliver an awesome message, then you got to get a click. So it's attention is number one.
And as I say, to everyone, when regarding what kind of content should you be putting on Instagram, the first thing you have to think about is creating content that someone will talk about, whether it's controversial or, it doesn't matter. Is it going to elicit a response that is going to make people want to say something? I mean, this is the trick that, the current, commander in chief has used very effectively. Love him or hate him, everything he does makes you want to say something, right? And if you're saying something, you're staying in the news. He didn't have to spend any money on advertising really for his election campaign because he would continuously say things that were controversial, getting people to want to say something. Go on Reddit, for instance, and just read some of the articles about him. Oh my gosh, it's like a monkey house. People just throwing poop at each other. So
to this day, every time he tweets, there's like an article written about it. So it's like that's every time he tweets, it's getting amplified into the news media like crazy. That's free advertising right there every time.
Right. And so, when people talk about, well, CNN has a liberal bias and Fox News has a right wing bias. No, they have a money bias. And if they put people on there who are going to yell at each other, it's compelling TV. It's like watching a slow motion train wreck. So you can't look away. So that's really all it is. It's just a matter of creating content that people, I mean, I'm not saying get in, there's ways to be uplifting as well. And I always prefer that type of marketing rather than being, knocking people down or name calling. I'm always into empowerment and humor. Mm-hmm. which is probably the best way, because people will remember your content if it's emotionally moving rather than demeaning or mean.
What you talked about there reminds me of like Kanye West over the last year or two, because every time he was in the news, he was just trying to do shocking things, and it definitely kept his name relevant. And as far as I know, I mean, his brand equity hasn't dropped much. So he's still doing just fine. Maybe people have a different opinion about him now, but he seems to be as relevant as ever by just doing what you're talking about. She's throwing out shocking content that gets amplified into the media.
Yeah, we should play a game later, which is Conway, yes, West, or a crazy person, and just like just say something that a crazy person does or that Kanye West does. See who's
going crazy back to a prior episode. We were talking about how like that battle between Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, that they're doing like rap battle videos against each other. I like your idea that we should do a rap battle against Joe Rogan. Or Gary Vaynerchuk,
so.
Or some of these other big podcasts out there.
I agree with you, but it's also that gets into another sort of thing about marketing, which is the episodic. One of the things that we have collectively as a culture started to gravitate towards is the episodic nature of everything. So the MCU, for instance, which stands for Marvel Cinematic Universe, is really just like giant episodes of a TV show.
Completely.
They're very expensive. Yeah. And the same thing like the Star Wars franchise. We're used to Netflix binging. We're not used to watching one-off movies as much. So creating content that is interconnected. In fact, I was just reading that Disneyland is creating these Marvel experiences in their different theme parks. And they're actually going to have the entire thing be story-driven and interconnected. So when you go to Disney Paris versus Disney Anaheim versus Disney World, there are going to be different Marvel experiences, but they're all going to be interconnected with each other on some level. So
that's
interconnectedness.
Very smart.
Yeah, exactly. So interconnectedness with your content. So for instance, if you create a piece of content that people have to go back and see the beginning of it, so story-driven content is going to be very, very big moving forward.
It's funny because there's a marketing coach that I followed for the last few years. And one of the things he says is that if you're going to do like a video or a podcast episode, you should create a part two and then don't include part one and see how because if you do that, a lot of times people reach out like, where's part one? Where's part one? And then that's the point. You get people reaching out to you and then you sell them stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. I just thought it was funny.
It's creating content that people are talking about. And then that gets actually into another platform that people, I think it's totally underutilized, should be utilized, and that's live videos on your platforms. So creating you and I have talked many times about integrating live video, but more and more live video is becoming a huge thing. So creating live content is something that you definitely want to start doing as a marketer and integrating live content. And it's easy to do. It's easy and cheap, and you can just throw stuff up on the fly. It does collect eyeballs. So
the reality is,
we're going to see more of that.
It's pretty much essential if social media marketing is part of your strategy. I mean, if part of your strategy is going to be social media marketing, I think that it's getting to the point where it's almost essential to do live video as part of your strategy. That's how important it is.
Right.
Unless you're like a brilliant, brilliant writer, it's really, really important to do live video because it connects people to you as a person. You get to interact with your audience. People like to interact with you. That gets them the opportunity to like you and trust you more. And it's, in my opinion, it's one of the most important things on social, period.
Yeah. And in fact, that gets into the other end of it, which is text-based marketing. No one's going to read your text. So start thinking about visual content more than anything else. So content creation, as far as, blogs were a thing, but even if I have a choice between reading a story or listening to a story, I hate to say it, I'm going to listen to it, even though I'm a big reader.
Text-based marketing is already getting a little, it's getting more saturated already. And the reality, this is my experience with text-based marketing, and I can't say that I'm the average customer, but if I read a message that's clearly a marketing message, I don't even know. I mean, it shows up in my phone. I guess I read it because it shows up, but I won't even open it. So, if you look at my phone currently, I have 128 unread messages on my phone because those are all marketing texts, basically, and I don't even open them. So I'm never going to click a text-based marketing ad. It's just not something I'm going to do. It may be a Facebook Messenger ad, but not a text-based one. It's not going to get me.
That's right. Yeah. So really think about visual content and story. Another thing that I see is a trend that is happening, and this is something that you need to pay close attention to, is community building. So just talking about reciprocity, taking care of your customers, but also building a community around your particular service or product. So going back to the production company I was just doing some consulting work for, that's why I kind of recommended, like, hey, why don't you start kind of like a movie club where you have your community that is interested in the movies that you're coming out with. So it creates a conversation, and people are dying to be part of a community nowadays. It's again one of the rises of why the current president has been so effective, is because in some sense he created a community of people who felt disenfranchised. So
that's a really good topic, and I think we definitely need to do an episode on community building next year. So that's another prediction of 2019, will be an episode on that. That's actually one of my focuses next year, is to get more into community building. I'm a member of Digital Marketer. They have a subscription service called Lab, and they have a whole certification course on community building that I'm kind of in the middle of taking right now. So it's funny that you bring that up. But I mean, community building is definitely going to be one of my focuses going into 2019, because I completely agree with you that we're moving into more of this culture or this marketing technique where it's about community building. It's about taking care of your customers. It's about making people feel heard and personalized. And so less automation, more personalization. If you could integrate automation tools with personalization, that's awesome. But it's the generic automation is not going to be working. Like you can use your email marketing tools will still be fine. But I mean, like, the more generic you are in wording, like, even if you go on LinkedIn and because I get so many LinkedIn messages of people that send these generic messages and I just ignore them all. But if somebody takes the time to personalize a message, I will read it. I will respond to it. I just don't respond to generic text. I can recognize it instantly. If you lead with a pitch, I'll pretty much ignore you. It has to be done in a way that's personal, and the pitch cannot be in the front end of a beginning of a conversation, especially if it's a new relationship, especially for a new relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, that means that, and we talked about this when we did our webinar on Instagram. If somebody leaves a comment on your platform, leave a comment back and make it personalized, make it very personalized. Don't just leave an emoji smiley or say nice or something just to save time. If you take an extra 5 seconds with each of these people, they'll feel a little special. I mean, one of the things about social media is that if somebody likes or responds to something we're doing, it releases a little dopamine, which is a drug that we are all addicted to. So make sure that you are very specific with people, that give them that little extra service, and that helps to build your community as well.
Yep.
So another prediction that I have here is the rise of AI. So machine learning, chatbots, that sort of thing. So a lot of companies, in fact, if you go to a website, and we've all done this, you'll see a little chat box in the bottom left-hand corner, and all of a sudden it'll like pop up and say, "Hi, it's Michelle. How can I help you?" And you could type in your question. Michelle is not sitting there on the other end of a computer waiting for your response. You're talking to a chatbot. And the way that the chatbots work is that they have a certain predetermined amount of answers. So you can type in your answer like, hey, or your question, hey, how do I get customer service or whatever? And it knows to pick up those keywords and will respond with answers accordingly. And if you stump it, then it will say something to the effect of, hey, I'm going to escalate this, your particular query. Can I get back to you? And so the rise of machine learning and AI chatbots for customer service, yeah, that is going to be a thing, which is also going to displace a lot of workers.
I was just reading an article about a new AI chess system that came. I read this article about maybe a week ago or so, but they were saying that AI is now showing signs of like human intuition. So unlike traditional chess computer programs that are programmed to, they follow a very linear structure. Like they'll never sacrifice their own pieces think ahead of like, you know, to the point where they're sacrificing their own pieces because they know of the larger strategy that they're employing. They basically took an AI software that had never played chess ever. And within I think it was within 2 hours, it was beating the best chess programs in the world. And it played up against, there's a chess program out there. I forget what it's called, but it's been known to be the best in the world. And this AI system was beating it. Like, I want to say it was like 70% of the time I think they played like 100 games and I want to say it won like 40 of them. And then they tied 60, but the traditional chess system only won one game. So it was like 40-1 on the win loss ratio. And then the rest were draws. So it's like crazy how fast these systems are learning, and now they're employing things that traditional software never did. Like the point that they brought up in the article was that the system would sacrifice its own chess pieces with a bigger strategy in mind, whereas the other computer program would never do that. So interesting, AI's coming.
Interesting.
We're going to take over the world.
Yeah.
We're all going to
AI. Well, not only is AI coming, it is coming for you, baby. That's right. Once again, it's time for the Sex Robot Report. Oh, yeah. Give me some horn.
There it is.
All right. There it is. Yeah. Absolutely not marketing related, but simply because I choose to worship our robot overlords when they come for us all. And when they look back through the history of all things digital, they'll be like, that's a guy who respected the sex robots.
He was trying to educate the general public about them.
That's right. That's right. So this is from The Sun UK. Caught with your pants down, sex robots could be hacked by cyber criminals looking to record users while they romp. As sex robots become more complex, the risk that hackers will target them also rises.
It depends what your level of shame is. It depends what your level of shame is, you know? I mean, you know, maybe I'm comfortable with that.
maybe that is my Snapchat channel right there, or my Instagram live feed is just me and my sex robot.
Oh God.
having a time. Sex robots of the future could be hacked by six cyber criminals who are looking to steal rompers' most intimate details, a security expert has warned. Cameras and microphones connected to devices can be commandeered by remote hackers looking to record filthy clips that they can use to blackmail randy users. Randy users was actually my porn name.
Your screen name?
Yeah. Tim McKay, senior technical advisor at software and computer chip firm Synopsys, says hackers could easily exploit people's relationships with their sex robots as technology behind them advances. He says sex robots of the future will likely collect data on their users to build more a personalized experience. Users are always expecting more from smart gadgets, and security has not kept up with the pace. So does that mean that you need to build a firewall into your sex robot? I don't know.
Maybe I'm more worried about I'm more worried about my Amazon devices now, reading my emails, knowing my, you know, if I say something out loud, it's fair game. I mean, I'm not too worried about my sex robot, Jen.
Yeah. Well, what if Amazon's new upgrade allows you to have sex with Alexa? Then, you know. Then,
now, where are these being manufactured? Are they manufactured in Russia or China? Is that why we're worried? I mean, is that like?
I think it's just more of a general concern about the whole, like, just them getting hacked in general. Like, your phone can get hacked, your sex robot could get hacked. I don't know. I don't have the answers to these questions. I'm just here to report them. So all we can do is just wait until the next Alexa upgrade. And with that, we conclude another fine edition of the Marketing Geeks Sex Robot Report.
And especially fine rendition and episode. What a great one.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So, before we close out the show, we'd like to, go over some of the predictions for movies 2019 and which ones are going to be awesome and which ones are going to suck robot electronics. So,
well, let's start with the obvious one, because I do believe firmly that Avengers Endgame, where the trailer just got released a few days ago, is going to be awesome. I'm excited for Avengers Endgame. I loved the trailer. It's dark, it's gritty, it's whatever, but I think it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it. There's all kinds of theories out there already about what's going to happen in it, and I eat all that stuff up.
Yeah, and I think you know, the non-marketing, because the trailer was a really short one. It was like a minute and a half. We barely saw any footage from the film. I think that the non-marketing of the film has been brilliant. Like, you know, you mentioned that they may not even release another trailer. I think that would be a really good idea. So, I think that Avengers Endgame is going to be fabulous. And, the Avengers, like all of the Marvel movies, in my opinion, is kind of like having sex with your sex robot. It's it's anywhere from mediocre all the way to mind-blowing. So,
I believe because Captain Marvel is the other Marvel movie, and I guess Spider-Man, what's it called? Spider-Man
Far From Home.
Far From Home.
Yeah.
So, I think Captain Marvel is going to be a very good movie. It might be great. It has the potential to be, but I think it'll be at least very good. And then Spider-Man Far From Home will probably be pretty good too. But I think Avengers is going to be the home run. That's my prediction for the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
The Marvel movies.
Now, as far as DC, we have Shazam coming out. Shazam is, it's going to be kind of a comic take on the superhero. I'm not, those DC movies have been very not good. So,
because it's like the movie Big, but for superheroes, because he's like a kid that becomes an adult superhero kind of thing.
I'll go see it. And then, of course, there's two other superhero movies. There's Dark Phoenix. Did you know that there was another X-Men movie coming out?
I had forgotten about it until I went and saw the movie Creed 2 tonight. I saw that tonight. It's also a very good movie. I'm not going to go too much into details on it, but yeah, they had a trailer for Dark Phoenix in the front of it. And I forgot all about it.
Yeah, I did too.
I predict not a flop, but I think it's going to lose money. That's what
I don't think it's going to be good. And there's actually another superhero movie. This one is kind of interesting. It's called The New Mutants. Remember The New Mutants?
Where it's a kind of a that one too.
it's a horror. It's like a horror superhero film. So, that should be interesting, but I don't think either one of those are going to do very well. I think that we are actually starting to see the early stages of superhero fatigue.
Let's not stop there, because we have the movie Glass, which is the highly anticipated sequel to the movies Unbreakable and what was the other one called? The Split. the sequels to Unbreakable and Splits, where they combine the Bruce Willis character with Mr. Glass and was it the Beast or something like that?
Yeah.
So that looks interesting. I predict that it will be a small hit. I think it'll be profitable. It won't do that well. And then the other superhero or DC comic movie, the one that I'm actually most excited about, is the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, because that movie is a wild card. I have no idea what to expect. I hate the idea that Todd Phillips is directing it, because he's the director of Old School and The Hangover and the
he's a comedy director. So
he's a comedy director. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll be okay, but I just don't. I don't see it.
But so, Joaquin Phoenix, I could watch that guy eat breakfast. So
completely,
Completely on board. He should be. That should be pretty good. And then we also have a Hellboy movie coming out as well. So a Hellboy reboot. So
the comic books are taken care of.
Yeah. So there you go. We also have a live action Lion King, which is funny to say because it's not live action at all. It's all computer generated. So. Is it it's not,
you know what it is? It's live action backgrounds.
Oh, well, in that case,
it's computer generated, it's CGI animation on live action backgrounds.
Yeah.
Which is the future.
So, Jon Favreau is directing that. That should be, and they're bringing back James Earl Jones as the voice of Mufasa. So,
which I think is, I don't like that idea because it's just like, you're basically remaking the original then, which I mean, he's good. Obviously, I like James Earl Jones, but I just like, I feel like, is this really necessary if we're going to use the same voice actors even?
Well, yeah, it's almost a shot for shot remake of the cartoon, just live action, which is
they have an Aladdin shot for shot remake coming out too, a live action Aladdin and a live action Dumbo. So we're getting three nice Disney movies. And then on top of that, we're getting two Disney sequels, Toy Story 4 and Frozen 2. So in case you have kids out there, get ready to go see a lot of Disney movies this year.
I refuse to show my son Frozen. I just refuse. I will not do it. I've known too many parents whose lives were ruined by having to replay Frozen over and over again.
But Frozen 2, you're going to take him to Frozen 2 though, right?
Nope. Not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
I think we need to kind of wrap this up here because we're we're going pretty long.
That's true, but what's the big movies that you're looking forward to? Leave a comment in the comment section below. And if you like the show on any level, and you don't want to donate, at least like leave a comment, leave a 5-star review.
Yeah, leave a review to something.
Yeah, we would love it.
Even if it's a negative review, just tell us how bad we are.
That's right. Give us something to talk about. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, another fine episode of the Marketing Geeks comes to a close.
Now we didn't talk about it, but there is a Star Wars movie coming out next year. It's called Episode 9. There's no subtitle yet. There's a Terminator movie coming out. These are movies I want to see. I just have no idea what to expect from them.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a wild card year, that's for sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, we love the fact that you listen to the show. Is there anything that you want us to cover? Do you want to be a guest on the show? Do you have anything to add? Reach out to us on LinkedIn. We answer most questions. And with that, another fine rendition of the Marketing Geeks has come to a close. I think we have like one more show before the end of the year. So maybe two.
Yeah, maybe two. But one or two shows before the end of the year. But we are getting close to the end. And we've been on the air now for, this is our 27th episode. So more than half of a year's worth of content. Man. We've been doing this. We're veterans.
I know. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful rest of your day. Be empowered. Create something awesome. Share it with us. We'll give you a shout out. And with that.
And most importantly, stay classy.